Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Notice verse 40. Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Now just one more reading, please, in the next chapter, John chapter 6. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. When I was a young teenager listening to the gospel, there were a number of concepts, a number of things that were preached from the Bible that I could not understand. One of them is something I would like to preach about tonight, and that is the vital subject of coming to Christ. It puzzled me when preachers spoke about it being so simple that all I had to do was come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. It puzzled me because he was in heaven and I was on earth, and I had no idea how I was to come to Christ. A hymn writer trying to convey how near you are to the kingdom of God, how close you are to salvation tonight, said it was only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? So I want you to think with me now about this idea of taking that step of coming to the Lord Jesus. Let me just start by considering with you to whom it is that you and I are called to come. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now you must understand that I am very biased. I am very prejudiced. I am convinced that the Lord Jesus never lied. I am convinced that when the Lord Jesus made a promise, that he was true to his word. So that if a person tells me, Mister, I have tried to be saved hundreds of times, and it seems that God won't save me. That's your thinking. That's your word. And then I hear the Lord Jesus say, Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Then I'm at a bit of a quandary here, because I have Him telling me He will never turn a sinner away if that sinner comes to Him. And you may say, now just a moment, I've come so many times and tried to get saved, and it just doesn't work. I can't get it. It's so hard. It's so complicated. Really, I am left with this one conclusion. That is, you have never come to Christ. If you had ever come to Christ, you'd be saved tonight. He never turns anybody away. He never turns away a guilty sinner. No guilty lost soul has ever knocked on this door and been turned away. Him that cometh to me, I will under no circumstances. I will in no wise. I will at no time cast out. So God is directing us to the one to whom to come. Not your heart, not your church, not the preachers. That is why there's no altar call when the meeting is done. Coming to us won't save you. Coming to a religious advisor won't save you. Anyone could perhaps help you from the word of God if you were saved. But there's no one that can save you but the Lord Jesus. And he is telling you tonight that if you came to him, he'd never turn you away. See, there are two wonderful themes that run through the verses we have read and run through much of the teaching of the Lord Jesus. They are His coming into the world to provide salvation. Didn't we read that? I am come in my Father's name, the bread of God as He would cometh down. I came to do the will of Him that sent me. So He so often taught about His coming into the world to provide salvation. Hard on the heels of that, He preached about your coming to Him to obtain it. His coming to provide it by His death at Calvary. You're coming to Him to obtain it. Now let me just stop for a moment. Let me borrow words that He used in John 15. He said on one occasion, the possibilities are absolutely chilling when you listen to what He said. If I had not come. What if He hadn't come? What if there had never been a Calvary? What if all that had ever happened at Golgotha was that there was a shuffle of nameless malefactors who went there and died and were cast away? What if there had never been a moment when God's Lamb stripped out His hands to be spiked to the tree? If there had never been that ultimate declaration, finished, paid in full, what if He had not come? What kind of a world would we be living in? A world without the gospel. A world without Christians. A world without light. A world without hope. If He had not come. What if you don't come? You don't come to Him, friend. Your life will be a life without God and Christ and hope and life and the gospel and salvation. He is telling you, Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a man whose name, because it is so unusual, it is stuck in my memory. I guess that's the only reason I remember it. His name was Jeremiah Meneely. And as a young Irishman, he was listening to the gospel and very anxious to be saved. And one night he left the gospel meeting and he went home and he opened the Bible to John chapter 6 and verse 37. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he put his finger on the verse while he was on his knees and he started to pray and he said, Oh God, I have come to the church. I have come to my own heart. I have come to family altar and devotions. I have come to preachers and Christians and people. But I have never come to the Lord Jesus. And here is His word. Now listen to what He said. Here is His word, binding Him to receive me if I come to Him. And I am taking Him at His word and coming to Christ. You know what happened that night? A man that was going to be greatly used by God in what was called the 59 Revival. A young Irishman named Jeremiah Meneely was saved because the Lord Jesus is as good as His word. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So God wants you to come to Him. But I want you to consider with me why you should come. When we think of what the Lord Jesus is offering, it's a marvel that there's a sinner here tonight that has refused to come. Listen to what He says. He says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Life. You know, that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Life. All that a man has, he'll give to hold on to life. Life. I was so touched. I was just reading some time ago about a young boy in the States. You here in Canada, thank God, you don't seem to have times like this. The father had poured gasoline over the boy and then struck the mats and thrown it on the boy. He was horribly burned. Father went away and left him, and the boy would have died if someone hadn't saved him. Horribly burned and disfigured, facing years and years of surgery. It really touched my heart when I heard his language. He said, quote, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I haven't missed it. I haven't missed out on life. I didn't die. What a tremendous thing it is. You know that the Lord Jesus is offering to you tonight? Life. Life. Eternal life. The Son of God offering to give you heaven's life. To give you the life that will fit you to live in heaven forever. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. All that believe on Him, says the Word of God, they have that life and they will never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of His hand. He's offering you life tonight. He's offering you satisfaction. He says, Him that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's offering to fill that emptiness, that void, that aching, that longing. Blaise Pascal, that famous French philosopher and scientist who spoke about the God-shaped vacuum that is in every heart. The God-shaped vacuum that drugs and drink and family security and all the things that men and women count important can never fill. God-shaped vacuum that can only be filled by the Son of God Himself. Him that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Life, satisfaction, security. You know, there was a family that lived in New Jersey a number of years ago. They were people who had moved from Alaska. The mother and father were saved. They came into the assembly in Pennsauken, in New Jersey, where my parents attended. And because of his knowing this couple, Mr. Thompson, a missionary to Alaska and to South Africa as well, who had left Alaska and was going down to Africa on a visit, he stopped in New Jersey in 1966 and preached the gospel one night. And in that gospel meeting, I can't remember a thing he preached about his points or anything like that. Just the verse he quoted got into my heart. God used it. And I, in that meeting, I was made to face by God's Spirit where I'd be if I would die. Now that family, so close friends with the Thompsons, that family, they had a boy just a few years older than I who was sitting in that meeting. That night God saved me. Twelve years later, now I hadn't seen that boy for a number of years. He kept coming to some gospel meetings after 1966, perhaps a couple more years. Family eventually moved and he dropped out and stopped coming. 12 years later, I got up to preach the gospel and I announced my verse and I looked up and there was God. Some mutual friends had gotten him out. I could hardly believe it for all these years. When the meeting was done, I raced to the back trying to catch him to say hello and thank him for coming, and he was gone. And so I went out hoping to catch him before he'd drive away, and I needn't have rushed. He was standing out on the porch outside the hall, and the moment he saw me, he came over and he took my hand and he said, "Look, is there anywhere we can talk? That I've got to talk." I said, "Sure, come back in." We came in, back into the hall, sat down at the back. The hall magically emptied in about 30 seconds. We sat there talking. His hand had been burned and was bandaged, and one part of one lens was gone from his glasses, and there was a large bandage on half of his face. He was in pretty bad shape. And he did one of the most eloquent things I've ever seen a person do. We were sitting at the back of the hall, and he was talking to me about salvation, and he said, "You know, ever since I got away from this," and he just took that bandaged hand and he just waved it like that, pointing at the gospel hall, at those empty chairs, the pulpit, the verses. "Ever since I got away from this," he said, "my life has been on the way down. You'll understand it once if I tell you that my heart was moved with deep sympathy talking to that young man, just a contemporary, a couple of years older than I. But there was another emotion in my heart, because my mind was going back to that Sunday night in 1966 in that meeting. He heard the same gospel I heard. Somehow I was perhaps too dense to realize what salvation all entailed. All I understood was that I was on the way to hell and I didn't want to go there. I never knew that if I trusted the Savior, it would be the beginning of my bliss, start of a new life. And here's this boy saying, ever since I got away from this, my life's on the way down. And here I was, having just come to enjoy after 12 years, 12 happy years, greater blessing through salvation than that boy had ever come to dream of. I'm offering that to you tonight. Life, satisfaction, security. Those are just a few of the reasons why you should not even leave the tent tonight until you've come to Him. But I want you to notice what is perhaps the most confusing thing that I ever heard in gospel preaching, and that is how to come to the Lord Jesus. How is a sinner supposed to come? There were nights when, if the Lord Jesus had been present in the gospel meeting, there were nights when I would have bolted off my seat. It would not have mattered to me who said anything, who was there, who saw me. I would have made my way to the front of the hall. I'd have wrapped my arms around him and said, I'm coming to thee. I want to be saved. But he wasn't there. Not visibly, not physically. So how do you come? Well, I would like, I hope with God's help, to tell you what I found out the night that God saved me. The way that a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus is, first of all, you come just as you are. Just as you are. Say, there's so much I don't understand. You come just as you are. You say, you don't understand. There's so many habits in my life that if I were to try and say I was saved now, you don't understand, mister. My life is such a mixed up thing that I could never live like these Christians live. The way that a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus is just as he is with all of his sins. Just as he is. Remember when the Lord Jesus called Bartimaeus? That's a wonderful passage. Now, one of the writers of the gospel tells us that he was brought. But I think it is Mark who adds another touch that I find delightful. There's Bartimaeus over there, as Mr. Oliver reminded the other night in his preaching, and he's calling, mercy, mercy. And when the people said, quiet down, be still, he's a busy man. The next word that Luke uses is a word that is far different. He doesn't just speak up and jack his voice up a little louder and call again. It's a cry of despair. It's like a wounded animal that realizes his hope is passing. Mercy! Don't pass me by! Mercy! And the Lord Jesus stopped. And he said, he commanded him to be brought to him. And it says, he casting away his garment, came. You see what Mark is recording? Just as he was, just a blind beggar, he came. He didn't say to the Lord, Lord, if you'll just open my eyes, I'll come. He didn't say, Lord, I'm not presentable. If you could just do something about how things are in my life, then I would come. He's a blind beggar, dressed in rags, sitting by the side of the road. How did he find the Lord Jesus in that crowd? He's directed by the voice that was calling him. When he heard Christ's voice, he just phoned right in on the voice calling him, and he came. This would be it. You'd be willing to come just as you are and leave the saving end of this to him? Would you be willing to come just as you are, guilty, lost, dark, confused? You'd be willing just to take him at his word and come to him tonight as you are? You know, he tells you to come now. Come now. There is a tremendous priority to this. There is urgency about the gospel that I am ashamed to tell you, neither my good preaching partner nor myself, or let me speak for myself, that we have been unable to communicate to you how urgent this matter is. My dear friend, it's life and death. It's eternity in the balance. It's heaven and hell. There's nothing more important being considered tonight. There may be larger meetings. There may be better preachers. But there is no issue. There is no matter being discussed or considered tonight anywhere in the world. It's vital. What is happening in this tent tonight, unless it's the same thing, gospel preaching. God is telling you, come now. While there's breath in your lungs, while you're alive, while the door of mercy is open, before the Lord returns, while you can still enter in, come now. Don't let another night pass. Don't allow another meeting to slip through your fingers. Don't allow the devil to tell you, just put it off. Just a little longer. The world is bright. Just wait till you're a little older. Just wait till the last night of the meetings. Come now. Come as you are. Come now. And come to his word. The night that I came to the Lord Jesus, he wasn't in my room. Do you know how I came to him? I came to his word. I came to his word. Listen to what he says. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. They're the same thing.
They're the same thing. He that cometh, he that believeth. Do you know how a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus? He comes to God's Word. Do you know how a sinner trusts the Lord Jesus? He trusts the Word of Jesus. Do you know how a sinner receives Christ? He receives Christ's Word. And that night when I wanted to be saved, you know what God gave me? He gave me a vision of Jesus on the cross. There was no apparition suddenly filled that bedroom and I rose from my knees and walked over to it. Do you know what he gave me? He gave me his Word. You know what I did? I just took it. And that's the same thing as if I had stood with Zacchaeus and said, pardon me, Zacchaeus, it's my turn now. And put my arms around him and said, I want you to come to my house tonight. I want to receive you. You know how you come to Christ? Oh, dear sinner. You say, preachers always say it's so simple. It's so simple that if we have any problem, it's in making it confusing. It's so simple, friend, that all that God is calling on you tonight is to rest your guilty, helpless soul on the rock-bed authority of His Word, to trust it, to come to it, to receive the Word of God. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast down. My time is gone. There's one other thing I must tell you, and it is the possibility of your never coming. The stark, terrifying reality that millions of men and women have heard the same blessed promises to which you listened tonight and have never entered into the kingdom of God. You know, there's a very affecting scene in the Old Testament. There was a wicked man named Sisera. He had gone out to battle against the people of God. And the battle had turned against them. And he got down off his chariot and he fled. And he committed one of the greatest breaches of etiquette in the old world as possible. He barged into a woman's tent, uninvited. And he said, I'm hiding here. I'm hiding in there. Peace to him. His end was very, very violent. Judgment fell on that man as he lay asleep in that tent. In a very, very gruesome way. With a tent pit peg pinning him to the ground through his temples, Sisera lay dead. Back home, his wife and his mother are standing on the porch. And there are ladies in waiting behind them. It's a bit unusual because before, when Sisera went out to battle, it wasn't long before that dust cloud would be rising on the horizon. And they'd be saying, here he comes. He's back from the battle. But this time it's all still and quiet out there. And there's no sound of approaching chariots. And there's no sign of this man, this warrior, coming back with his victorious soldiers. And they're getting a little worried. And the time is going by. And so they begin to question, why is he so long in coming? He's not coming. Why is he not coming? Why carry the wheels of his chariot? Why don't we see the army approaching? Where is he? So they begin to do some wistful thinking, hoping for the best. And the mother says to the wife, well, it must be because the victory was so great they're held up. And she says, yes, that's right. There's so much spoil to be divided on all of the soldiers that they're being delayed, but why has he not come yet? Why? And Sisera would never come. Because while they were buoying up their spirits and hoping for the best and wishfully thinking that maybe it's going to have a good end, that son and husband was lying dead in jail's tent with a peg pinning them to the ground. He'd never come. And there is the possibility, friend, that before you come to the Lord Jesus, the mighty waves of death will come sweeping onto the beach of life and hurl you away into the ocean of eternity. And like Cowper said, like we are children gathering pebbles on the beach, and every now and then a wave picks some child off the beach and they're gone. And for just a moment we realize how serious life is, and then we're back to our vain pursuits, forgetting the eternal. My dear friend, what if you died? What if you lost your soul? What if you were swept out into eternity without Christ? Without God? hope. Loved ones were left behind, hoping for the best. Maybe she got saved just before the end. Wishful thinking. Maybe I'll meet that girl in heaven. Maybe that boy. Maybe he'll be there. Maybe when I die, if the Lord doesn't come and I open my eyes, maybe I'll see him there and I'll thank God that I didn't know that he got saved before he died. And did he never come? It was 1952. 54, pardon me. It was an April morning when a photographer for the LA Times got out of his cabin, put his camera around his neck, and went up for an early morning walk on the beach, Hermosa Beach in California. He snapped a picture that day that won him a prize. I think he just as soon have done without the prize. Very strange picture if you ever see it. He called it the Dance on the Beach. There's a man standing there, staring out at the ocean. Even from the distance at which that picture is taken, you can catch something of the emotions on the faces of those two. His wife is by his side, her feet in a crazy kind of a dance. One is up, and she's holding onto his shoulder as if she's begging him to do something. And he's not looking at her. He's staring straight out at those waves rolling on and back. And all around them down that long beach, there's not another human being. Except that just moments before there had been. But that couple had taken their little baby down to the beach. And suddenly realized in one careless moment, the child was born. Now you know the dance on the beach. The father, staring. You just let one sight of clothing, let one little toddler's hand break that surf, and that father would have bounded into the ocean. Now you know the mother, frantically grabbing the shoulder of her husband. Please do something. He's out there. You've got to get him. And where do you go? He watched the waves relentlessly rolling in and out and in and out. It begins to dawn on you, he's not coming back. What if you never come? What if you let it slip tonight? Now is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. No, not tonight. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that the kingdom of God is near to souls here tonight, that the door is open, that salvation is available. We pray with all our hearts as thou wouldst give us help to do so, that there may be souls here tonight who will be wise, who will consider their latter end, who will not rest this evening until they know that they are safe and saved for eternity. We ask thy blessing on thine own good word, for thy own glory, and the honor of thy beloved Son, in his worthy name. Amen. Number 74. In number 74, since the time is gone, we'll sing just one verse. Verse 1, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 1, and the meeting is over.